So, each one reach one. Here we go. We're on a roll. We're going to reach one, right? Each one is going to reach one. We're building faith, and God's working on our hearts. Last week, we talked about the unbelief that the disciples had when they were told. And I'm going to pick up from that a little bit more. God's dealing with our hearts. You know, we talked about the 10 virgins, and they, 5 of them were not ready. They were not filled with the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit, but they did not have enough oil. And you know, like at some point I'll be teaching about that God is a judgment God. Jesus came to save the world, but he also came to judge. And probably most of you have never experienced that. I have. I've experienced it, and it was stern, and it was serious. It was a time when God told me to stop praying for my husband. I've told you guys before that John told me over a year ago that I could share anything and everything if it would help people. And there was a time when God told me, John was not saved, and he said, stop praying for him. It's a long story, and I'm going to share it one of these days. But God is a God of judgment. When you think about the 10 virgins, he shut the door on 5 Christians that had the Holy Spirit. That's the judgment side of God. And I think the reverential fear needs to come back to the church. It's so, it deals with lukewarmness. When we're complacent and lukewarm, que sera, sera, what'll be will be. We get kind of slothful and lazy. But that reverential fear, not being afraid of him, because he's a good God and he's a loving father, but the respect and the honor that we give to his word and that we give to his presence and that we do what he tells us to do with a reverential fear. Not that he'll strike us dead. Some people he does. You know, my husband had a heart attack 2 months after he was warned by a prophet. Massive heart attack. That was the judgment seat of God. That was the judgment of God. He was not saved. But God gave me the instructions step by step what to do. And the goal of it was to get him born again. That was the goal. And sometimes when God lifts his hands, why am I preaching on this today? That is not my plan. He did this to me last week too. Anyway, I'll pick that up one day because he's after our hearts. This week and last week, he's after driving out the unbelief. Either we take God at his word and say, that's true, I believe it. That's it. That's it. You know, and it's so easy not to be a person of integrity, not to be a person that keeps their word. But I've had, you know, in business and even stuff we're dealing with now, if a man is a man of his word, he can be trusted in everything. Pastor Doug, we can trust that man. He is a man of integrity and he keeps his word and we know that. And so, you know, when a person is like that, you can trust them. And so it's so vital. Can we trust him? Can we trust what he says? We need to. It's right here in black and white. Okay, God, I'm going to take this as truth. Instead of, yeah, that's nice. I wonder. Wonder if it's true. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16. We're going back there. In verse 15, if you remember from last week, Jesus had just rebuked the disciples for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Their unbelief caused the hardness of heart. When we do not believe the word of God, our heart gets hardened and we begin to get complacent and lukewarm and whatever. And then the word of God cannot fall on soft ground when our hearts are hard. And for a seed to be sown in ground, it has to be soft ground. Any of you that have plants, you know, you need the ground right. The conditions must be right for the seed to grow. And if the seed will grow, you're going to have a harvest. But if its seed bounces off, like if the word bounces off of us, it's not going to produce. And so it's so important that we embrace the seed of the word of God as truth. And if we can't do that, when we have to learn to drive it out. He had just rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. And then in verse 15, he gives them their assignment. Okay. Shame on you for not believing, but here's what you got to do. Because you're the only people that are left to bring out, to fulfill the Great Commission. That's all he had. The disciples, they followed him for 3 years. That's all he had. That's all he had was the disciples. And so he said, go preach to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. If I believe the word of God, signs will follow. If I don't believe the word of God, signs will not follow. These signs shall follow those that believe. That believe. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Do we believe this? Do we believe this? Have you ever laid hands on somebody and thought, oh, I hope so. I have. Oh, I don't know if I want to, I don't know if I should pray for them, because what if they don't get healed? Right? I've been there. I wasn't sure. I was in unbelief. My heart was hard. My heart hadn't softened to believe, to embrace that word as truth. And I think that's what God wants to do in our hearts. He wants our hearts to get alive. And I can tell you, if you can get your faith going, that when you lay hands on the sick out there and they get healed or they get saved, lukewarmness will be gone. Unbelief will be gone. It will be gone. It's like we'll be jumping up and down, because there's nothing more exciting than leading somebody to the Lord and they come alive and you see that life come to them, or when they get healed from an incurable disease, lukewarmness will be gone. And so God's after our hearts. He's doing heart surgery. I keep saying, you're doing heart surgery, Father. And so then, like the five virgins that were allowed to enter in to the banquet, you know, and they were full of oil and had extra oil. And I shared this a few weeks ago in Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified. Ephesians chapter 5. I think it's verse 18. How do we stay filled? Well, we all know the message of praying in tongues. We all know that message, the importance of praying in tongues, building ourselves up on our most holy faith. But, you know, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, when you speak in tongues, you're speaking to God, but you edify yourself. And that word edify means you're building a structure. You get stronger and stronger. Like, think of it as a high rise. And you're building it layer upon layer upon layer upon layer, and you're getting stronger and stronger and stronger and building something when you pray. Jude says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. They work together with learning to be led by the Spirit of God. And like, we don't go out of here when we've had a real good sermon and the power of God showed up and we go racing out here and laying hands on everybody. No, no, no. The Bible says those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The sons are the mature ones. They're not children. They're not children. They're not carnal Christians. But they are the sons of God because they know how to be led by the Spirit of God. And so it's so critical that we're led by the Spirit of God, so that when that person is ripe for the gospel and you are the one that tells, bingo, salvation, healing, when they're ready. And so, you know, yes, it says in Mark 16 that we are to go preach in the world. But these people, these disciples also had to be taught how to be led by the Spirit of God. I'm just going to read Ephesians 5, start at verse 14. Therefore, he says, awake, you sleeper, arise from the dead. Isn't that where we've been? Asleep? Asleep. I've been asleep. And Christ shall shine, and he shall make the day dawn upon you, and he will give you light. Look carefully, then, how you walk. Live purposefully, worthily, accurately, not as the unwise and the witless, but as the wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be ever filled with the Holy Spirit. The five virgins were ever filled with the Holy Spirit. And they made. And that's our goal. to learn to be so sensitive. And God is doing heart surgery so that we get the rocks out of our heart, so that the ground of our heart is soft, and He can deposit things in our heart, like drive out the unbelief, you know. And that's what He wants. He wants to soften our hearts. So He's going to continue. All right, we were at Ephesians 6, verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit, speaking out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voice and instruments, making melody in your heart to the Lord at all times and for everything, giving thanks. Sing a song. Pray in tongues. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Keep your heart open to the Holy Spirit, because He's all about trying to soften our hearts. Okay, turn back to Mark 16. Verse 50. Go ye into all the world. Now that does not mean that you bring your pulpit and set it on the street corner. Some people do that. Some people are called to do that. But He's talking to the believer. We just read that in verse 17. These signs shall follow those that believe. Those that believe. That's you and I. I'm not called to a ministry, but I'm a believer. And these signs will follow me if I believe. That's the condition, right? That's the condition. If I believe. And so He said, go to the world and preach. Another word for that is go tell what you witnessed. Go tell what you saw. And I'm going to give you an example to prove that. We have been given, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I shared it before, we've been given the power to be a witness, to stand on the witness stand and tell the truth. Because that's what a witness is. We go tell the truth. We go tell the truth. And so it's so important that we do that. And verse 17 says, these signs will follow them that believe. Believe what? That believe what? That believe what you tell. What am I going to tell? I lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. Will I believe it? You must believe that you believe that. You've got to believe that. Then the signs will follow. If you don't believe that, the signs will not follow. Things to tell. You know, you see somebody and the Holy Spirit gives you a witness. And you just know that there's something you want to say. You know, like you don't go preaching the Word of God. If you don't get saved, you're going to hell. Or quote a whole bunch of scriptures to somebody that hasn't got a clue. And, you know, Pastor Doug has done this too. And, you know, we've done it. I see such pain in your eyes. Can I pray for you? I see that you're having such a hard day. Can I pray and ask God for peace? You're telling the truth. Because in the Word of God, the Bible says that God will give us peace. Right? So you're telling. And what if she doesn't believe? The answer's coming. What if they don't believe? The answer's coming. So He rebukes them, and then He gives them their assignment, because they were the only ones left that would carry out the Great Commission, as I said. They went forth, verse 20. Look at this. He rebukes them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Then He tells them, go preach. And then it says in verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere. What happened to the unbelief? What happened to the unbelief and the hardness of heart? And the rest of that verse says, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. We just read in verse 17, these signs shall follow those that believe. Well, what happened to their unbelief? And their hardness of heart? Verse 20, the rest of verse 20. They went forth and preached everywhere. Did they get rid of the unbelief? Obviously they did. They preached everywhere. And the rest of verse 20 said, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. They got rid of the unbelief, began to believe, began to preach. God confirmed, worked with them, confirm the word, the signs following, right? And that word for signs in the Strong's, it is a miracle, a sign, or a wonder. I love that. It is a miracle, a sign, or a wonder that God will give me. If I believe what's in the Word of God, He will He will confirm what I am telling, but I have to believe that He will do it. If I don't believe it, it's not going to happen. The Lord working with them with signs, miracles, and wonders following. Following. So what is God's part? God's part was, because it says the Lord is working with them. What do you mean, working with them? What's His job? What's His part? Confirming the word. That was His work. What was our part? Preaching everywhere. Our part? God's part. My part? God's part. Preaching everywhere. He confirmed. He worked with them and confirmed. They had driven out the unbelief and the hardness of heart, and they chose to believe. Blessed God, you said go preach. Blessed God, you said if we can cast out devils, if we believe, we can lay hands on the sick. If we believe, you will confirm that word with signs following. Amen? We have received the power to be a witness. We have received the power to tell what we witnessed. That doesn't mean you tell everybody your testimony necessarily, but there is something, a testimony, something that happened, a good word, whatever. It doesn't even have to be the Bible, because I'll show you from here that it's not even from the Bible, but there is something that the women saw and they told. It's something that we see and we tell. And if the Holy Spirit is working with us and we have the witness to speak, He will confirm that word, and we don't have to worry whether they believe it or not. Because that's all, I've heard that so many times over the years. What if they don't believe? What if it doesn't happen? That's God's problem. That's God's problem. Either His word is true or not. And if I am telling, and I'm being led by the Spirit of God, and I'm telling a good thing, a truth, lined up with the word of God, He must confirm that word, must confirm that word with signs following. Do we believe it? We have a choice. They believed it. Because after He reprimanded them and said, now I want you to go preach and tell. And verse 20 said, they preached everywhere. The unbelief went. They got rid of it. They got rid of it. And God worked with them. He did His part. But they had to do their part first. And it meant preach and believe. No doubt. No unbelief. Amen? I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 4. We need to get rid of every level of unbelief. Romans chapter 4. It's talking about Abraham. And I'm going to read that. My 20 minutes is almost up. Romans chapter 4. And I'm going to start at verse 17. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified. This is God speaking to him. And He's saying to Abraham, I have made you the father of many nations. It did not happen. He was not even a father yet. The father, the son that God wanted him to have had not happened yet. He tried it in the flesh and it was a mess, and it still is. It's still ongoing today, right? I have made you the father of many nations. God's speaking by faith. He's speaking before it happens. And that's what faith is. You believe it before you see it. In whom He believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of non-existent things that He has foretold and promised as if they already existed. For Abraham, every human reason for hope was gone. You know, they had Ishmael, and then God made him wait another 25 years. And everything was dead and dormant in their bodies. The plumbing didn't work anymore. Nothing was happening. Right? And so, but in verse 19, it says, and Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, and he did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So how did this happen? I told you last week, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And so every time his wife called him, Abraham, father of many nations, and he heard it, and he heard it, father of many nations, Abraham, I need this thing fixed. Get the horse. Bring me a cow. Abraham, father of many nations. I don't know how long that went on. But is that how he saw himself? Did he build that picture within him? Because of the words, why did God change his name? Because he heard it every day. Every day, every day, every day, he heard it. And when, I think it was the angel that came to him, or somebody came to him, and I don't remember the story. And he said to them, no, I'm Abraham. Because they called him Abram. And he said, no, I am Abraham. I am the father of many nations. Right? He was speaking faith, even though it wasn't happening. All hope was gone. But he was speaking faith, and his wife was speaking faith. Father of many nations. Did he hear Abraham, or did he literally hear, you are the father of many nations? And you know what? What we hear and what we subject ourselves to continuously, eventually we will believe. It's so important. It is so important what we say. It is so important that we guard our hearts. It's so important that we continue to protect the soil of our hearts so the word of God can fall on good ground and take root. It's so vital. It is so important. He grew strong in faith and was empowered. And was empowered. And he got the results. He got the results. Mark 11:22. We read that last week, but we're going back to it again. Mark 11:22. The Rhema grads call that Dad Hagen's scripture. Everybody that's gone to Rhema knows that. And Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. The literal translation of that is, have the God kind of faith. Do it God's way. When God spoke the earth into existence, the Spirit was hovering over the earth and nothing happened. He was hovering and nothing happened until God spoke and released the words. And if we do not speak life, nothing will happen. The Holy Spirit within us cannot take hold together with us and produce life. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between the spirit and the soul. Unbelief grows in the soul. Faith grows in the heart. You know, unbelief. Oh, my God, I can't do this. Oh, my God. That's the soul. And we have to develop our heart. We have to develop the soil of our heart so that the seed of the Word of God can grow in there. And drive unbelief out of our soul and develop the heart. It's so critical. It's so critical. So then how do we drive out unbelief? If we're to have the faith of God, verse 22 says, have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. Have the very God kind of faith. If you are not speaking the word of God, if you are not speaking words of life, you are not operating in the God kind of faith. And we will not get the results. Verse 23 said, I say to you that whosoever shall say to the mountain, you guys hear me bind the devil a lot. And it's like, get out of here. I do it lots of times. You guys have heard me. I do it a lot if I perceive a demonic spirit, right? Say to the mountain, what's the mountain in your life? What's the mountain in your life? You got to speak to it. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. There it is again. Believe, not unbelief, that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. All right, I want you to turn back to Mark chapter 16. And these signs, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord has, after he had been received, they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them, confirming with them, signs following. So here's how we do it. We got to say it. I lay hands on the sick. I lay hands on the sick, and the sick recover. Woo! I lay hands on the sick, and the sick recover. You got to build it into your spirit, man. You got to build it into, you got to uproot that unbelief out of your soul, and you got to build that word of God into your spirit, man, over and over and over and over. The word of God is like a hammer. Sometimes it penetrates, but sometimes you got to take it like a hammer. Jeremiah 23:29 said the word of God is like a hammer, and it will break up that rock in your heart. Boom, 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 boom. So the word of God can be contained in your spirit, man. It's so critical. Break it up with the word of God. I need to quote that scripture to you if I can find it. I think it's Jeremiah 23. I may have left it at home. Oh, no, here it is. Is not my word like a fire? What does fire do? Whoosh! Destroys everything. Burns up. Is not my word like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? The rock of the most stubborn resistance. That's what the word of God will do. What's stubborn resistance in your life? What's a mountain in your life? You need to speak. I need to speak to the mountain. You and I need to speak to the mountain. And we are being on assignment right now to each one reach one. We are being instructed to preach the gospel and go out to the world. Not to the church necessarily. There's a place for it. I'm not saying not here. But you know what? We're being assigned. We're giving an assignment to reach the lost. And that is to go out there and preach and tell and tell and tell. And the only way you're going to drive out that unbelief, you and I are going to drive out thy unbelief by quoting Mark 16:18. I tell, I go tell, I go tell what God has done. I lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. I cast out devils and they will move. I pray for them and they will speak in new tongues. I lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. I lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. I lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. You will confirm the word of God with signs following. You will confirm the word of God because I believe. But it's contingent on me. If I don't believe what God says, it will not happen. It will not happen. I want to show you, I must have skipped a page, but I want to show you in verse 10. Go back to Mark 16, verse 10. Let's read verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, of whom he had cast out seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive, had been seen of her, believed not. She went and told. She preached. She told what she saw. She told what she saw. Right? Did she preach the word of God? Did she give them a sermon? No. She just told what she saw. He's alive. He's alive. And then in verse 12. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the residue, and neither of them believed. They told what they saw. They just told what they saw. They didn't give a sermon. They just told what they witnessed. They were a witness, but they didn't believe. But guess what? When the person that's on the receiving line doesn't believe, when you speak the right thing, anointed of God, Jesus shows up. Verse 14. And confirmed to them, well, I'll show you then. They don't believe it, I'm just going to show up. Here I am, I've risen from the dead. He confirmed what they said with that sign following. With that sign following. But they didn't believe. So if a person that you sense to minister to doesn't believe, that's not a problem. The problem is, do you believe? Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe when you lay hands on the sick, God will confirm that with signs following. It's up to my belief. It's up to if I believe. These people weren't believing. But God confirmed, worked with them and confirmed with signs following. This is so graphic. This is so graphic. They went and told. They didn't believe. God confirmed what they told. Right? It's awesome. I love it. It's awesome. All right. So how do we start with this? What do we do? The first place would be to examine your heart and ask God to show you, am I in unbelief? And make it real to me. He will. He wants us to reach the lost. This is his passion. That's why he died. He wants us to reach the lost. Each one of us reach one. And that's where it'll start. And the fire will start. We'll expand once we get on board. And so then if he shows you, we repent and then say, please help me. I will speak the word of God. I will apply Mark 11:23 and 24. I will have your faith and I will say, and I will say, and I will say, you spirit of unbelief, I command you in hard-heartedness. You will leave me because I will drive you out with the word of God. I lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. I lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. I cast out devils in Jesus' name. You've got to say it. That's faith. Abraham, father of many nations. He heard it maybe 40, 80 times a day. Because they lived in a tent and they were very involved with each other and whatever. You're newly married, so you'd know all about it, right? It's like, Sean, Sean, I need help, Sean, Sean. You know, that's just how it is. Why would it be any different there? Right? Father of many nations. But they spoke life with the word that God had given them was Abraham, father of many nations. And they spoke it, and they spoke it, and they spoke it, and they spoke it, and they spoke it. And he was not moved. He sunk his teeth into that. I am the father of many nations. He sunk his teeth into that like a bulldog, and he never moved off of it. And he got that child. Right? So it's so important. So my suggestion, if we as a church meditate on Mark chapter 16, starting at verse, where were those women that told? Starting those women that told. And look at that unbelief. Chapter, verse 9, I think, right? Yes. Start at verse 9 and read until the end of the chapter and do it every day this week, this month of February, 28 days. And then boldly confess. Boldly confess. Mark chapter 15, 16, 17, and 18, day in and day out. Build it into you like an edifice. Build it into you like an edifice. And at the end of February, when I go, how you doing? I lay hands on the sick and they recover. I cast out devils in Jesus' name because you're going to be so full of that word. That's what's going to come out. That word. That word will come out if you build it in like an edifice and speak it and speak it. But if you just think it, that's not speaking it. You must speak it. That is the way God laid it out in Genesis and even with Abraham and many others. But that's who I'm teaching about today. He spoke it. He spoke it. He spoke it. He spoke it. And there came a time. What happened? Abraham didn't move off of his faith, but there was a point when it went from his soul to his spirit man. And the ground was good. And the seed took root. And the miracle happened. It's so critical. So this is what I'm asking. Let's do homework. I'm in. I'm going to do it. That's going to be my meditation for the month of February. 28 days. But then speak out loud every time you think of it. Mark 16, verses 15 to 18. I lay hands on the sick. I cast out devils in Jesus' name. I believe God's word. I will not be in unbelief in Jesus' name. Right? Amen? We're going to do this? We're going to do this because we're going to reach the lost in this city. We have to. And the first place is to drive out the unbelief. The only way to drive out the unbelief is to put the word of God in. And if your heart is hard about that, like a rock, then take it like a hammer. Take it like a hammer. Take it like a hammer. And just beat that rock, that hardness in your heart, and drive it out, so that the word, the seed of the word of God, I lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I learned this as a very young Christian. My son, you guys knew, some of you knew Jason. He was 3 years old when he was born again and spirit filled. I was not. And when I got and he was sexually abused by a neighborhood boy, and on the wings of that, he developed grand mal epilepsy. So it was critical. And so in the journey of that, I became born again, and somebody told me that my son had devils. And I thought, devils? Devils? On my child? Devils? And so I was being accused of, she sees devils under every doorknob. I said, yeah, I do, and they're leaving, because he was attacking my son. There's something in a mother and a child, there's a rage that rises up, and it's like I became a mother bear, and it's devils. How did they get there? I mean, I was a baby Christian. How did they get there? Well, they were transferred through the sexual abuse, right? And it's like, I fought for him, but I learned about the demonic, and I realized we have to speak to the mountains in our lives. There are some things that will not change until we speak to the mountains of impossibility in our lives. We have to address it. And if it has a name and it's not a good name, it's a mountain. And you need to speak to it and then speak the word of God over it. Amen? Hallelujah.